Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, for people who are single, who perhaps haven't had a long-term relationship, or who somehow feel they're late to the game, there can be a real sense of stigma and shame that somehow you're behind or you should know more by now. But what if you don't actually know what you want from relationships, from intimacy, or from sex? And what if part of that uncertainty comes from feeling inexperienced? Well, I'm joined now by sex and intimacy coach specialist Grace Alice O'Shea, and of course, the themes will be adult in nature. Grace, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire.
Now, this is something that can happen to any gender, but you have found in your work that it's more often women who seek support here.
Yeah, so it is mainly that women come, that come and use my services anyway. But I have worked with a lot of women who basically haven't had romantic relationships before, or maybe haven't had any sexual relationships before, and basically are feeling very self-conscious about that, and it's building up in their heads basically, and to the point where it can feel a bit paralyzing almost. The fear can build up where they're actually afraid to put themselves out there because they're afraid they're going to be judged by anyone they meet once the person finds out, you know, they haven't really had a partner before.
Yeah, we do place a lot of expectations on this, don't we? I know we've sort of set up society that there are certain boxes we're expected to tick, like you go through school, you may go on to study elsewhere, you get a job, you get a partner, you get a mortgage, you have a family, with a few deviations. And it's the same with romantic relationships. We're sort of expected to build up this experience from teenage years on. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily work out that way.
No, it certainly doesn't. And everyone's timeline, you know, is different. And for one person, they could have had multiple really unhealthy relationships, relationships that were actually, you know, not very positive experiences, and they can be self-conscious about that. So it's almost like you can't win. It's kind of how you're approaching it in your mind and how it gets framed in the mind. And I think like gender norms can play into this a bit as well, where as women, you're kind of told that, you know, men, if you're heterosexual and in a heteronormative way, you know, men should be chasing you. You know, men should be kind of looking to date you and looking to have relationships with you. And, you know, basically you're being pursued. And then for men, there's the pressure of, you know, winning over the girl. And I know this is really old fashioned, but I think it still echoes into today's world, where then sometimes people are, you know, looked at a little bit funny, but like, oh, how come no one has committed to you yet? You know, which is such an unfortunate way of looking at it, because it's a huge investment being in a long-term relationship, and you want to make sure it's genuinely with the right person.
And I certainly remember feeling a pressure in my teens that I now discuss with my own kids to, you know, rack up these bases, if you will, you know, and there'd be discussion in school about who had done what. And again, it felt a bit like a box ticking exercise. And something I say to my kids is, you know, wait until you meet somebody you really like, and then it all comes quite naturally. But is that a bit naive? Because it doesn't necessarily come naturally. It's a skill that has to be learned. And with that, you have to make a few mistakes along the way.
Yeah, I think there is a sprinkling of truth, though, in what you're saying. And I think when we're looking to young people, we have the benefit of hindsight, you know, on our sides, where we always want better for our children or the next generation coming up, where we look back at maybe, again, like you just mentioned there, some tick the box stuff, or maybe, you know, doing things with people or even dating people that, you know, didn't really feel right, but you just felt the pressure to do it, and you don't want then your children to have to do that. But there is a certain amount of that look is just going to happen. And some of that is okay. And some of it is we do learn through experience. Actually, it's one of the most effective ways to learn about anything in life is through making a few mistakes, right? Because you remember the mistakes and you learn from them. But yeah, at the same time, it's not something that necessarily comes naturally. And as well, appearances can be deceiving because, you know, from where I'm sitting, and I work with people, again, men, women, people in all different kind of backgrounds, histories, everything. Sometimes the people who you think have it all together and have had relationships and it all looks good from the outside, they're the ones that actually struggle most behind the scenes in their relationships or struggle with self-esteem. So, you know, it's a shame we kind of sometimes look at people who are single long term with sometimes kind of pity, whereas other times, actually, they can be a lot happier than someone in a relationship. I can attest to that personally, having been through bad relationships, and also just from working so many clients who've been through it as well.
Yeah, I think we should celebrate the single life so much more, because while being in love and having a partner in life is fantastic when you get the right one, it's better to be marching to the beat of your own drum, and you're not taking on anyone else's baggage. You're really suiting yourself all the time. You're having a love affair with yourself. Do you think there is still a huge amount of shame and stigma attached to being single long term or not having had a sexual relationship? And if so, do you think that feeling comes from within, or is it society wide?
Yeah, it's a hard question to answer definitively because it depends who you're talking to. But I think there's definitely, I feel, there's still a stigma around, because I see it with women who come to me, not having had maybe sexual partners or sexual relationships. Now, again, I will say there is the you can't win phenomenon where, have you had too many sexual partners? Because you can get judged. You can just get judged for that as a woman as well. And then for a man, you can get judged for having too little. So it's just, it's so arbitrary, isn't it? The way we assign meaning to these numbers. But there is a bit of a stigma. And I think from the people I work with, there is definitely some judgment from, let's say, society. Definitely. There is some there. There are people who are just going to judge you. They're going to find a reason to judge you anyway. But a lot of it can be internal. Do you know, we absorb it and it becomes a narrative in our head and it becomes a negative thing. Whereas often when I'm working with people who deem themselves inexperienced, that's the word they would use, I would often say, you know, what do you think experienced looks like? Because you could have someone who's had loads of partners, who's had a very active sex life, and they might not actually be a great sexual partner. They might not be great at the sexual communication and at connecting with a partner. You know, it's not automatically evidence that someone is great in that part of their life and doing everything right. And every time you're with a new person, I say every time you're with a new partner, you're now inexperienced. Because that new person, if it's the first person you've been with or the 20th person you've been with, that's a new person with new history, new boundaries, new likes and dislikes, like a completely new person in front of you. So you're now inexperienced. We can't copy and paste what we did with our ex-partners, with our new partners. We have to relearn and we have to communicate. So in a way, everyone is inexperienced when they meet a new partner.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I do hope we're moving into a more equal and inclusive society, although, you know, certain developments worldwide would make you feel differently. And if you're in a same-sex relationship or you're seeking that, can that have a double pressure on it? Because you also have perhaps the added pressure of having to come out. Are we still feeling, are there still people out there who are feeling, oh God, this is a bigger deal than perhaps the heteronormative?
Yeah, there is an added layer to it. And again, I wish I could sit here in 2026 and say, no, you know, no one's bothered about that anymore. But that's very idealistic. Unfortunately, you know, people still do absolutely suffer judgment and stigma and even online abuse, you know, for being gay, for being queer, like homophobia. It's not gone. Like, it's still alive and well, unfortunately. And although hopefully it is changing, and look, people do seem to be able to come out more and get more support and find communities, it would be, you know, unfair of me to say it still can feel like an extra layer, you know, an extra thing you need to what's the word, announce, let's say, or share with the world. So yeah, I don't want to diminish that. It can still be a struggle, but like, I hope we just, it's changing and we can keep kind of pushing forward with it, and, you know, not let the kind of homophobic voices, which can be very loud, not let them win over, because we never want to go back to the way things were ever.
And likewise, if you're non-binary or transgender, there's still a huge amount of difficulty there. And not to be glib about, you know, some of the difficulties those groups may face, but having to explain who you are and what you want, is that something we should get more comfortable with?
no matter what your gender is, no matter your sexual identity, I think our relationship with ourselves, and I always talk about this in my work, that, you know, our most important relationship is the relationship with ourselves and an understanding of ourselves. And as you said, who we are, what are our values? Because I think you can connect two humans from any backgrounds if they have similar values. Like, we're so focused nowadays on what divides us, and, you know, things feel so divisive, and especially online. But when you're with people in person and you can find shared values, that's where connection often grows from. And so I think that getting to know ourselves, what we want our life to look like. You know, not everyone wants children now. That's another thing we need to talk about. Life doesn't look as linear as it maybe did for previous generations. But that can be a good thing as well, because just that you mentioned gay people, trans people, etc. Obviously, again, it can be hugely difficult growing up if there's negative attitudes or people feeling isolated. But a lot of queer people actually find what's called their chosen family. So, you know, even if they don't feel accepted in their own home communities or family, they find more people as adults, and they use the term chosen family. And I think that's lovely, because it's just a way of showing life doesn't have to happen in these, you know, five neat steps. You don't have to buy the house and get married and have the baby and have the long-term relationship. You can find joy and connection in a life, in 100 different lives that look different.
And what if you don't know what you want? How do you begin to figure that out?
So I suppose when it comes to what you want romantically, first of all, like what you want from a partner or a long-term partner, what you want your life to look like, all that. Again, there is a certain amount of that has to be figured out as you go, because that can change. You know, again, for example, you might meet someone and start a relationship with them, and you might think you want children, and that could change down the line, or vice versa. So some of it has to be subject to change, and there has to be, we as partners, we have to keep communicating. We have to be very intentional with, you know, not assuming we know what our partners want. But if we're talking then about not knowing what we want sexually, again, there is some learning, a lot of learning you can do about yourself before you have to, you know, list out all these things you want. You can figure out some of that with a partner and as you meet people. But that's where people like me come in, where I help women and men who have very little sexual experience. And that doesn't matter when it comes to our conversations, because I can help them figure out, okay, but what does sex mean to you? What could it mean to you? What would you like that part of your life to look like? So again, a lot of it is down to the self-exploration, but don't expect yourself to have all the answers neatly tied up, because things can change as well.
And I'd imagine there's people, and I remember feeling it myself during single years, you know, back in my 20s, you know, my friends would be like, get out there, Claire, you know, that's exactly what you have to do. And is that what you have to do, or do you take really small steps?
It depends on the person. I am all about conquering fear through action. So I think I've said before in a different discussion with you, you know, sometimes we try and think our way into change, and the thinking and the self-reflection, all that, it is so important, but we do need to push ourselves a bit. So what I would say, if you envision your comfort zone, right, the way we expand a comfort zone is step by step by step. It is small steps. So if you're thinking of whatever it is, going to speed dating, joining an app, asking someone out, joining a book club or a hiking club, or just to meet people, whatever. If you think of that action and that step, does that feel like being nudged outside of your comfort zone, or does it feel like being kicked outside of your comfort zone? If it feels like being nudged, that's probably good. That's probably something you can absolutely do, and there'll be a bit of fear, but you can do it, and you will build confidence from that and probably build connection. But if it feels like, oh my God, that's a huge jump, okay, then maybe can we pull it back a bit and take a smaller step first?
And is your inexperience something you should be open and honest with? I mean, perhaps not on the first date or the first texts in the dating app, but when it starts to move towards that stage, should you fake it till you make it or be open and honest?
So I actually talk to a lot of people about this and help them try and figure out what to do and how to handle that. My general advice would be, I wouldn't say fake it till you make it, but I also wouldn't say you have to make a big announcement or disclosure either, right? Because if we think about the tone which we deliver things, if I go into a situation and I'm getting to know someone and I'm like, oh God, I have to tell them now I've never been with anyone before, and how are they going to react, and should they won't want to be with me? If I'm going in with that energy, I'm probably going in very apologetic, and almost there could be shame almost radiating off me, right? And that's not going to make me feel good or confident in that situation. It's good to open up to a partner. That's what it's all about. It's all about, like, love is built from vulnerability and intimacy and connection. So we do have to, I believe, we do have to be honest. I believe that's the way, even if we watch a rom-com, like, you know, being honest usually wins out in the end, and is better for us. But it's thinking about the person you're talking to, you know, do they seem kind? Do they seem respectful? Are they someone you want to share your story with? And if you do share your story and, God forbid, they don't react well or they are judgmental, okay, they're not the right person for you. That was a really good filter to filter out that person who would not have fitted in your life anyway. So it's hard to know exactly how honest to be. I'm a very honest person. But that's me. And I know not everyone, like, you know, the fear can creep in for sure. But it's asking yourself, what's the worst that can happen here? You know, if I'm honest, what is the worst that can happen? Someone will judge me. Okay, feels horrible. No one enjoys that. But you'll get through that. And it'll help you then, you know, actually end up with or meet a partner that is genuinely accepting and kind and just sees you for who you are.
Yeah, and I think it's really important what you said about that relationship you have with yourself and the tone you use. So if you're coming from a place of a real lack of self-esteem here, you know, and it's as if you're confessing this lack of inexperience, then that's going to give off a certain impression. Whereas perhaps when you reach a stage of trust, you might have a chat and you might even find that your partner is in the exact same situation. And then look, haven't you met a kindred spirit? And as you said, if they find this information, regardless of their experience, with respect and compassion and kindness, well then, yeah, that, you know, the filter worked. I think that's really important. Well, if people want to find out more about Grace Alice O'Shea and her work, you can go to gracealice.com. Sex and intimacy specialist, Grace Alice O'Shea, thank you so much for coming on.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.